Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning as we inch closer to Thanksgiving. And a reminder that we will not be here Thursday or Friday. Get a couple of days off. But we will have for you on Thursday, Alice's Restaurant. So we'll have that scheduled out. I should know by tomorrow exactly what times, but my plan is I'm thinking 12, 3, and 6, but I might do 9, 12, and 3. I think 6 p.m. might be too late. And then we'll have app alerts that go out to let you know when to tune in. Give you like a 15, 20 minute heads up for those who want to tune in and hear it. And thank you to everybody that's been sending me the story about the passing of Alice Brock last week. But we also had that story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's still there for you to check out. And of course, we can discuss that more if you'd like. We also have a story up at WBSM.com and on the app that we'll talk about in a moment. You just heard Phil mention it in the news. The man who is convicted now of scamming people in an affordable housing rental scheme. So we'll get into that in a moment. But before that, there's a story out of Danvers. The Liberty Tree Mall AMC Theater was showing Wicked at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And a Lynn man is now accused of threatening two young women in that movie theater during Wicked. 34-year-old Ryan Muldoon was arrested and charged, this comes from WCVB, was arrested and charged with assault with a dangerous weapon, threats to commit a crime, and disturbing the peace. Now, the two women told AMC management that Muldoon was making threats to them and that they were scared, prompting management to call the police. Officials said Muldoon, who was not in possession of a firearm or any weapons, told a movie audience that he was going to shoot and kill everyone in the theater. According to prosecutor Brittany Frain, Muldoon was actively telling people in the movie theater, quote, "I'm going to shoot all of you in the head." And the police report states that the defendant was sitting directly in the row behind the victims, the two women that reported it. And so he was arraigned yesterday in Salem District Court. Defense attorney Heather Ramsey said, "There's no assault. There's no dangerous weapon. There's an allegation of threats, but there's no indication that they were even directed at those individuals. He didn't approach them and sit behind them. They came in and sat in front of him. There's just not enough there to get the probable cause." So the defense attorney said that the client may have been repeating rap lyrics and that scared the two women enough for them to go to management. However, in the end, prosecutors argue that threats to safety are not protected by the First Amendment and quoted case law in Massachusetts. Frain said that any assault by means of a dangerous weapon, whether the weapon is actually used to inflict harm, is irrelevant. The relevant point is the menacing conduct of the defendant producing the fear of harm towards the victims. The victims were placed in fear when the defendant made the statement, and that's what they told police. So the case was continued until today. Meanwhile, Muldoon is being held without bail. And of course, if you remember, it was just May of this year when Jared Urviza allegedly went into a movie theater in Braintree and stabbed four girls between the ages of 9 and 17. He obviously has all kinds of issues, but, you know, he went into the theater and just stabbed these girls unprovoked. So certainly you can understand why somebody is scared if they're hearing somebody make threats in a movie theater. But I don't know if I buy the defense attorneys. He may have been reciting rap lyrics. All right, well, but don't recite rap lyrics that say, I'm going to kill everyone in this theater when you're in a movie theater. Or I'm going to kill everyone here, whatever the lyrics were. And I'm not familiar with what rap song that might have been. And in fact, that would have been the question I would have asked if I was in court. What was the song? But it's certainly, you can't blame the women if they felt like they were in fear, because you can't be too safe these days. And for everybody who says, oh, you're just being scared for no reason. Obviously, he didn't mean anything by it. He didn't have a weapon on it. They didn't know that. They heard him make this statement. They didn't know if it was rap lyrics, and I don't know that I believe that, but if they were, they didn't know that they were rap lyrics. So you can't blame the two people that were scared. You can blame the guy that, even if he wasn't intending to harm anybody, should have known better. Should have used better judgment. Now, does that make it a crime? I mean, technically, yes. But do you want to punish someone for that if it was just that he was reciting rap lyrics? No. But also take accountability for that. Well, I shouldn't have done that. I was reciting rap lyrics and I shouldn't have done it. But it doesn't sound like that's the case. But you have to be careful. You have to be vigilant. You have to be aware of your surroundings. And ever since the Dark Knight movie theater incident, which is, you know, well over a decade ago now, right? I have been cautious about who's in the movie theater with me. And I usually sit in the back of the theater anyway. Just my preferred seating. But I also keep an eye on, you know, who's in the movie theater. And I know that I shouldn't have to. But you've got to be careful. I mean, it depends on the movie I'm going to see, too. I don't get too, like, when I went to see the new Ghostbusters movie, I'm not looking at the movie theater crowd being like, who's going to be the next potential shooter in a movie theater here? But you would expect that you could go to see Wicked without somebody making threats. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app if you want to use either of those methods to discuss that. But I mentioned the story that we have on the website about, oh, hold on. Did that just crash on me? Yes, it did. Give me a moment to just pull up the story again because my browser crashed. So we have this story at the on the website, on the app, about a man who has now been found guilty of stealing over $20,000 from 13 people, pretending to be the owner of affordable rental properties in New Bedford. His name is Victor Tio Lopez, and he was found guilty yesterday in Taunton Superior Court on one count of witness intimidation, which is separate. We'll get into that. But 8 counts of larceny over $1,200 by false pretenses and 4 counts of larceny under $1,200 by false pretenses. He was sentenced to 2 back-to-back 2-year sentences in the House of Correction, followed by 1 year of probation. So between February and April of 2022, he was falsely presenting himself as the owner or soon-to-be owner of affordable apartments for rent in New Bedford and collected over $20,400 in deposits from 13 unsuspecting prospective renters. According to the Attorney General's office, many of the exploited renters were members of a Guatemalan Mayan immigrant community in New Bedford and were particularly vulnerable to exploitation due to being in housing crisis. Lopez was also convicted of threatening to kill a community organizer from a nonprofit in New Bedford that supports immigrant workers who had been assisting the rental scam victims in reporting Lopez's fraudulent contracts. So in addition to, you know, getting found out and committing larceny, when this organization was trying to help them report it to authorities, he threatened to kill the person that was helping them. So this is just despicable predatory behavior that is happening far too often when it comes to apartment rentals because people need housing. And so they're falling victim to scams. And sometimes it's scams as simple as, I'm a landlord. Here are photos of my apartment for rent. It's going to be open on December 1st. Here's the rent. Here's the pet policy. Send me a $35 application fee and your application. And just that alone, you know, not even getting to the point where you're giving a deposit, you're giving first, last security, not even without all of that. You can scam enough people out of just that $35 processing fee, that $35 nominal sum. You put that out there and you put that in one of these Facebook groups of people looking for a place to live, and you can get 200 people that send you $35 plus all of their financial information, all of their identity information. And chances are, you know, the people who are this desperate for housing that they are submitting their information to somebody sight unseen without actually going and checking out the property, they're probably not in a great financial position, so there's not like a lot that they're going to be able to steal from them, but just having their identity alone and their social security number and things like that will allow them to commit a variety of crimes. It's not just about draining your bank account. I say all the time, like, I don't care if anybody steals my identity. I don't have any money for them to steal. But I've been told repeatedly by people in the know, it's not just about draining your bank account. So these people have all submitted their information. They've given even just a small amount of money. And it turns out that the rental is a ripoff. It's not real. And it's stock images of another apartment, or it's from another post that they found somewhere else, or whatever it may be. And I see it all the time on social media. The minute somebody puts up an apartment, there's 100 people commenting that they want it, and they're all willing to fork over money to that person immediately without even taking a look at the place. And I don't know how viable it is to do this in a housing market where if you don't want to send the guy the money, well, it's okay. The next person will. But I wouldn't give anybody any money until I've actually gone to look at the property myself. Okay, when can I see it? When I come to view it, I will bring you a check or a money order, and I will bring you my application then. But I want to see it before I apply. And if they end up saying no, I'm just going to move on to the next person. I mean, wouldn't you rather not take the chance? But when you get desperate, you do desperate things. And certainly it sounds like, you know, this person, this Lopez, he knew how to prey on members of that Mayan community. He knew that they were desperate to get housing, and he exploited that. So if you know somebody that's looking for a place to rent, or if you are yourself, just make sure you warn people of the, or be aware of the scams that easily go, and it doesn't take much. That's why if you go, there's some rental groups on Facebook that have real legitimate landlords in them, real legitimate realtors in them, moderators who keep an eye on them and make sure that the scam posts are filtered out. Some are still going to get through. And plenty of people in there acting as watchdogs. People that don't even need an apartment but are part of the group because they don't want to see anybody get scammed. And if it sounds too good to be true, that's hint number one. If somebody's putting up a post saying, I've got a 3-bedroom double parlor apartment in the far north end, off-street parking, laundry hookups, $700 a month. You know that's too good to be true. You know what the market is these days. When people are renting out rooms in their house for more money than that. Not a 1-bedroom apartment, not a studio apartment. I'm talking a bedroom in somebody's house. Shared living space, shared living room, shared bathroom, shared kitchen, your own bedroom. More money than that. So if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. And it comes down to, you have to be the vigilant one. You have to do your due diligence before you hand over money to somebody. And I know I've been in that position of being desperate to have a place to live, of sleeping in a tent and just looking for whatever you can find. And 30 years ago when I was homeless, there weren't people preying on folks like there is now with false listings. The only way to find a place was looking in the newspaper. And the only way to pay the person and give them money was to meet them at the property and take a tour and fill out the paperwork. An opportunity plus technology has made it so easy for people to just get ripped off. So be vigilant about it and make sure that you don't fall scam, or that somebody that you know don't fall victim to these scams. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Back in. We're going to be going into the newsroom with Phil in just a moment. On the other side of that, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I know Lamone wanted me to ask the question. What's everybody's favorite side dish for Thanksgiving? And certainly you can give me your answers to that. We also asked the question at WBSM.com and on the app last week. Is it jellied cranberry sauce at your house, or is it whole berry cranberry sauce? I mean, I've seen the meme going around where somebody's like, this is my grandmother's homemade cranberry sauce recipe. I make it from scratch every year. It takes me 12 hours to simmer it down. And then it's a picture of somebody just plopping it out of the can of Ocean Spray saying, that's nice. I've had to make homemade cranberry sauce before. I am not a fan. It's okay. But I like a nice jellied cranberry sauce out of the can. Like the other meme says, if my cranberry sauce doesn't look like it came out of a dog food can, I don't want it. You don't even need to chop it up. Just leave it in the can shape and I'll slice it off with a butter knife and put that cylinder of cranberry sauce on my plate. And I have a lot of cranberry sauce over the course of the year because cranberries are good antioxidants and I know there's sugar in cranberry sauce, but I offset it with a little bit less. But I will have, you know, turkey with gravy and cranberry sauce a couple of times a year. Usually just deli turkey that I've heated up. But I also like to make a nice Thanksgiving sandwich any time of year. But it's got to be jellied cranberry sauce, none of that whole berry stuff. I want to slurp it, not chew it. All right, well, we can talk more about that coming up. But right now, it's time to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Trump details his plan for tariffs once he takes office. Walmart rolls back its DEI policies. And two important pardons at the White House.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Donald Trump threatened on Monday to impose sweeping new tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China as soon as he takes office as part of his effort to crack down on illegal immigration and drugs. He said he would impose a 25% tax on all products entering the country from Canada and Mexico and an additional 10% tariff on goods from Mexico as one of his first executive orders. A Florida woman has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for the fatal shooting of her black neighbor. Susan Lawrence shot and killed 35-year-old Ajike Owens in June of 2023 after a dispute over noise from Owens' children. The shooting sparked outrage and protests. Lawrence claimed self-defense, but a jury found her guilty of manslaughter. The judge said the shooting was unnecessary and based on anger, not fear. There's a new twist in the saga of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' InfoWars media empire. The satirical news website The Onion won the bidding for InfoWars at a bankruptcy auction, backed by families of victims from the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Jones owes those families billions of dollars in defamation judgments for repeatedly claiming the massacre was a hoax. The Onion plans to relaunch InfoWars as a parody website in January, but Jones is contesting the sale, alleging fraud and collusion between The Onion and the bankruptcy court. A judge will decide the case in December. Macy's reported stronger than expected sales for the third quarter, but has delayed the release of its full financial results. The company discovered that an employee had been hiding expenses over several years, potentially up to $154 million. Macy's is now investigating the matter and will release its full results at a later date. Walmart is facing criticism for rolling back its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. The retail giant says it will no longer consider race or gender when awarding supplier contracts, and it'll stop collecting demographic data on loan applicants. The decision comes after pressure from conservative activists who accuse the company of prioritizing identity politics over qualifications. But critics argue the move weakens efforts to create a more diverse workforce and supplier base at Walmart. The company says it remains committed to fostering a workplace where everyone feels welcome and respected. Millions of Americans expected to hit the roads and skies for Thanksgiving. Airlines and airports bracing for a busy holiday week. But potential air traffic controller shortages and weather could cause delays in some places. Travelers are advised to arrive early, check TSA guidelines, and plan for heavy traffic on the roads. And Peach and Blossom are the two lucky turkeys from Minnesota who escaped the foul fate of ending up on someone's Thanksgiving table this year when they were pardoned Monday by President Biden at the White House. Biden used the event to give thanks, noting serving as president has been the honor of his life, and he's forever grateful.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Bruins welcome the Vancouver Canucks to TD Garden tonight at 7. Celtics play the Bulls in Chicago on Friday night, and Patriots face the Indianapolis Colts at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on Sunday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A little rain for your Tuesday, but warm, about 55 degrees. Skies sunny on Wednesday, high temperatures close to 50. On Thanksgiving, rain moves in heavier at times than what we see today. It exits Thursday night. Skies begin to clear for Black Friday morning. Rest of the holiday weekend, mostly sunny, but breezy and colder each day. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
To the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can.
You know, I kind of feel the same way about peaches as I feel about cranberry sauce. I don't really like to eat a peach. They're all right. But you give me a nice can of peaches in that syrup. Yeah, those are good. Or I like to get the little cups. I get the little sugar-free ones. Those are really good. Nice little snack. And I can't believe that that's a snack for me now. There was a time that I would look at something and I'd be like, why do they call this a snack pack of pudding when I would eat all four? Like, what's one little pudding cup going to do? But now that I have a normal human appetite, or at least maybe a little bit smaller than a normal human appetite, but I'm like, oh, I get it now. That's why you're only supposed to eat this much. But yes, peaches and cranberry sauce are two things that are way better in the can. And it's jellied over whole berry for me. You might feel differently. Some people don't like it at all. And I don't know why that is weird to people. I have been around folks who had said, well, no, I don't really like cranberry sauce. How do you not like cranberry sauce? You live in the cranberry capital of the world. Well, okay, but that doesn't mean you have to like it. I don't understand that correlation. But also, it's a taste thing for a lot of people. Some people just don't like the tartness of it. Some people don't like the texture of it. Some people just don't think that it adds anything to the meal. To me, I think it's perfect. You've got the savory of the gravy and the turkey and the stuffing and the potatoes, maybe the sweet of the yams, especially if you're the kind of person that puts the marshmallow on them. And then you've got the tart of the cranberry sauce. You know what else I like too? Those little onions. Not a lot of people have those on their Thanksgiving table, but we will at my house because my mom likes them too. Those are great. Those are something that make it Thanksgiving for me. I don't really eat them the rest of the year either, just on that day, which is weird because I like, although I do have a jar of cold pickled onions in the fridge. But every once in a while, I have a couple of those. There's a lot of things that can be pickled that you don't realize. But anyway, so yeah, Thanksgiving side dishes, what's got to be on your table? You can let me know. So I think we need to have, at some point, you know, maybe this is something we can put together more for next year, but we need to have an ultimate South Coast Thanksgiving table. You know, what are the things that go on every Thanksgiving table here, or should be on every Thanksgiving table here? You're going to have people that argue you have to have cranberry sauce because it's a, you know, cranberry growing area. But there's also things that I'm sure you put on your table for Thanksgiving that other people would say, really, you have that? Like, it would always blow my mind when I was a kid. And my Italian friends would be like, oh, yeah, we have meatballs and we have ziti. I'm like, really? You have Italian food on Thanksgiving? That seems odd. But to them, it makes perfect sense. The same way it might make people, it might weird people out that we usually have macaroni and cheese, baked mac and cheese for Thanksgiving. And quite often my dad will make a kugel, which is a Jewish noodle pudding. So that might be weird to some people to have either of those on your Thanksgiving table. Like, oh, mac and cheese, that's like you eat that any other night. Why do you need to have that on Thanksgiving? Because my dad makes a great mac and cheese and everybody loves it. My sister will probably make my grandmother's sweet and sour meatball recipe as an appetizer. We'll probably have those. So there's a little bit of a weird thing for everybody when it comes to your Thanksgiving table, your Thanksgiving experience, that you might not think is weird, but other people would say, really? You have that? So let me know those. 508-996-0500. App chat. Open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Let me take my next break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back. And what would you say if I showed up at your Thanksgiving dinner and I brought a noodle kugel? I'm sure some of you would be saying, I don't know what that is. It's a noodle pudding is how it's categorized. It's basically like, well, it's kind of like a mac and cheese, only instead of cheese in the way that you think it would be, it's more of a, let's see what the most common ingredients are, because I don't know what the difference is between the way we make it and the way other people might make it. So let's look at the very definition of it. Noodles, eggs, sugar, vanilla, cinnamon, oftentimes raisins or other dried fruit. And it could be cottage cheese, sour cream, cream cheese, ricotta cheese. I think my dad uses ricotta in his. But I'm showing up with that. Do you think that that's weird? Or do you say, well, hey, the more different side dishes we have, the better. And it's one of those things you can serve it warm or you can serve it cold. You can have it as a side dish or you can have it as a dessert. And they make a very good one at the Jewish deli that opened up in Pawtucket. Mavens. I was a fan of theirs, of their kugel. And that's a tough thing to find around here because there's not a lot of Jewish delis around. But I'm showing up with that at your Thanksgiving. What's the thing you're bringing to Thanksgiving in my house that you think I might find to be weird? So there was also a story that I wanted to share. I'll pull it up here because my browser had crashed. Not sure if you heard Phil mention this in the news earlier, but a plane collided with another plane at Boston's Logan Airport on Monday evening. A tug vehicle towing an empty JetBlue plane struck a Cape airplane at slow speed near Terminal C at about 6:30 p.m. There were no injuries, and Massport said the incident was minor. So from some of the airline passengers that were witnesses to it, they said it looked like an absolute mess, that there were lights everywhere, that it was a chaotic mess. But the accident delayed the Orlando-bound flight for hours and delayed other passengers on the tarmac about to take off. So when we've already got traffic issue, air traffic issues, we've already got air travel issues, I should say, this slowed things down even more. And this comes the same day that an American Airlines plane clipped the wing of a Frontier Airlines plane at Terminal E. That happened earlier on Monday. So what's going on over there at Logan with the air traffic controllers? Now, both airlines have said they've removed the planes that have been struck, and they're inspecting them to make sure that everything's okay. The passengers who were scheduled to fly to Orlando did take off about 3 hours late, and they did it in a different plane. But just when you think, the weather is already going to wreak havoc on your travel schedule, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, we're going on Monday, so we should be safe. We're leaving Monday evening, so we're going to get ahead of everything. We should have no issues leaving on Monday. And then the plane bumps another plane. And I guess these things do happen from time to time, but you would think that there's enough redundancies in place to make sure that it doesn't. I mean, isn't that why you sit there on the tarmac for so long? Isn't that why when you're taxiing back in, it takes so long to get to the gate? Because they want to make sure that the path is clear. Now, I have no idea how they handle that. I mean, I have landed in some pretty big airports and seen the amount of planes taxiing around and pulling into the gates, and it's amazing to me how they handle all that. Because when you're driving a plane, it's not like you can see. You're not just looking out your side window and being like, oh, I think I can make it. I think I can make it past that plane. Like, you're dependent on what the tower is telling you. But I guess when you have the perfect storm of either bad information from the top or somebody misinterprets directions or doesn't obey directions, then, yeah, you can have issues like this. But I don't know that it's inspiring confidence for people when they're already concerned, and I'm going to be delayed getting down to Florida, and then who knows when I'm going to get back because of these storms that are coming. I hope those people are heading down for vacation and they can relax after having that experience, as opposed to if they're heading down for family dinner and the anxiety is only building as they get closer to it. I like how people too are hearing me talk about, the anxiety of Thanksgiving dinner and going to Stevie's Wine and Spirits and getting yourself something to drink after everybody goes home. And they're like, what is your Thanksgiving like? Because mine is nothing like yours, Tim. Mine is so much calmer and enjoyable. Why is yours so stressful and crazy? And you may have a point there. 508-996-0500. Let me play this last group of commercials for this hour, and we'll be back in a few.
To breeze came round.
right, that is going to do it for this hour. We are going to be coming back in the next hour. We'll take a break for the news, get all of the national news from ABC, including some of the information that Donald Trump released last night on Truth Social regarding his plan for tariffs on day one. And then we can talk about some of the local news as well that Phil Devitt will bring you following that. And, of course, you can always check out